Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today. And joining with me is Pat.
Yes.
And the one. The only. Chris. Chris is getting ready.
He's getting ready.
But you know.
Yeah.
The one, the only. It takes a while to get ready for him. He's got to get stylish.
He's got his hair products.
He has this thing that he goes through every day before he gets on the air. So excuse him, but he'll be with us.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, here I am. Yeah, I was, I've been taking notes from Pat and how to do my hair and everything.
Oh, I see. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Okay.
Well, the Lord is good. I want to give out some shout outs today. Brother Eddie, what's up, my man? Listen, no insanity. I haven't heard nothing. Listen.
I think it's over.
Inquiring minds want to know. I mean, you told us you were going to get fit, get ready. You're going to drop them. We're taking tally here. We're taking tally. We want to know what's going on. I want to give a shout out to Pastor K. Chara out there in Klein, Texas. Doing well, doing well. There's so much to share, but I also want to welcome Chara and James and Gina and just a whole crew out there in Texas. I tell you, God is just doing an amazing, amazing work. I also want to welcome all of our new VFN radio listeners every single day. And we got Michael and Melvin and Sienna and Lauren and Polita and Todd. I'm telling you, amazing.
Very.
I don't know if you knew this, Pat, Chris, but we are close. We are so close to 5,000 friends on our VFN Radio, VFNTV.com Facebook page.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, we're a little bit over 4,800. In fact, we're more closer to 4,900, and we just need a little bit ways to go.
Almost there.
Yeah, so I want to encourage you. Listen, you've been listening to VFN Radio. You know what? Go ahead and recommend. Ask one of your friends on Facebook to go ahead and be a friend of VFN Radio and get connected and get plugged in. This is a great way where we can continue to share with everyone what God is doing, what God is saying, encouraging words. And I'll tell you, I'm just pumped and excited. But I was reading in Psalms, guys. Mm-hmm. It says, the Lord reigns, Psalm 93, the Lord reigns and he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago and you are from all eternity. I love just to think and just to ponder on the greatness and the awesomeness of God.
Yes.
I mean, the creation speaks, but when you think about how good the Lord is,
yeah, he's very good.
When you think of how wonderful he is, when you think about his majesty, he is amazing.
Right.
And so he sits enthroned. He's on the throne, man. He's faithful. He's true.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you this morning with that, and know that God's in control. God's in control. Well, we have a fantastic program today. I can't wait to discuss all the things that we're going to share. I know, Pat, something you have in your heart we're going to talk about later, and just so encouraging, and Chris. But, I noticed, Chris, and I don't know if you noticed this at all, Chris.
Yes.
Yesterday on the program, I made a small comment, just reference to Pat wearing the faithful, crusty, dusty, and having it out there. But I notice here today, he pulled out the Christmas gear. I mean, this must have been a Christmas present. This must have been wrapped up tightly.
Oh my goodness.
This brand spanking new. I could just see it glistening right now. Can you tell me, are my eyes playing tricks on me? Am I seeing a Saints Is that a fleece? What is that, Chris?
You are exactly right. It is a fleece, and it is shining brightly.
Oh, my God.
They want to go get my sunglasses.
Oh, come on. It's a jacket.
Let the team win one time, and oh, my God. I mean, they bringing out the T-shirts, the fleece. Speaking about that, have you heard of Sam Gordon?
No, I haven't, actually.
Actually, Sam is short for Samantha. You know, I'm thinking, after seeing this young player, this is a 9-year-old football player, after seeing this player, I think that, you know, this player may be able to help out the Saints, you know?
Maybe.
Sam is actually short for Samantha. Listen to this.
It's not a play of a day, it's a player of the day. Take a look. 9 years old, but only just begun. That comet blasting down the field is 9-year-old Sam Gordon. A pint-sized football player from Salt Lake City with numbers most would envy. 35 touchdowns, nearly 2,000 rushing yards, and 65 tackles. Oh, and did we mention that it's Sam's first season? Or that Sam is short for Samantha.
It's just fun because all the boys are like, whoa, it's a girl.
On Monday night, Sam's dad uploaded this compilation of her highlights playing in Salt Lake City's Gremlin
Dude,
League to YouTube. By the next morning, nearly half a million people had seen it.
I wasn't really sure what kind of response she would have. I thought it was impressive, and it appears that other people enjoy watching her as well.
So many people are marveling at her speed and skill, not because she's a girl playing a male-dominated sport.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Totally. Oh, my goodness.
She's 9 years old, Chris. Listen to this. 9 years old. She has scored 35 touchdowns.
Wow.
Rushed for 2,000 yards.
In
and
1 year?
65 tackles.
Wow.
That's amazing.
These are impressive numbers for any football
Anybody,
league.
Yeah.
And we need to keep our eye on her, man.
Well, you know, hey, if you guys start early now, you can really start looking, see maybe you can recruit her because the way they've been playing, you know. But I thought, wow, how phenomenal. Young player, she's 9 years old and aggressive and getting out there. Yeah, I'd love to see the kids get involved in sports and, you know, get out there.
I think your Jets could probably use her.
Oh.
I think they've won like one game. Maybe a Giant.
Yeah, right. You know, the Saints have won like. What, 4 out of the last 5?
See what happens. See what happens here. Hey, you know, all I know is that we share the wisdom moment every day here on VFN Radio. And, one, you know, probably because of a fall. You know, I don't know. I just, you know, I noticed that.
Okay.
Okay, so the same.
I noticed you don't wear any of their stuff anymore.
It's being cleaned.
Oh, okay, it's in the cleaners. I got you.
Don't worry. We'll bring out the Giants and the Jets. You know, I don't know what's going on here. You know, maybe it's the hurricane got them all messed up.
I guess. They must be doing hurricane relief.
Well, I wonder what was going on before then.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Got the picture. Thank you. Actually, I wanted to share with you guys and talk about, you know, we've been having such a wonderful time on VFN Radio and just really just sharing what the Lord would have us to share. But, you know, looking at the Torch, VFN Torch, and you can access the Torch, don't forget, by going to VFNTV.com and you'll see our logo where you can select the VFN Torch. VFN Torch is updated every single day with highlights from our first and extra hour of the radio program every day. And I was just looking at some of these segments thinking, oh my goodness, so encouraging. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when we talked about Got Purpose, when we talked about Billy Graham, that at 94 years old, 94, Billy Graham, he just turned 94 last week and says that, you know, I still think the Lord has a purpose for me.
Amazing. 94.
totally amazing. And we're just thinking how wonderful that was and really just God to share with us of just that we all have a purpose. We're not here by accident. That the way we walk and talk and breathe and look and act and the things that make you you, mm-hmm. Psalm says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, marvelous are God's works. Mm-hmm. And that God has a destiny and a plan for you. And it's a really encouraging highlight because sometimes, you know, we can get to a place where we think, you know, why am I here? Why did I exist? Why do I live in this location?
Right.
Well, let me tell you, God has a plan. God has a purpose. We talked about to how to turn back to God. And that was a really exciting time because we really looked, just dove into God's word in 1 Samuel and how God helped the Israelites. He says, you really want to turn back?
Mm-hmm.
Can you return? And he shares with them a blueprint, a pattern mm-hmm. of what they needed to do to turn their hearts back. And we talked about Manasseh, what Manasseh did after God tried speaking to Manasseh several times.
Yeah, he got his attention.
Got his attention.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like being bound with a ring in your nose.
Chains.
Oh,
prison.
God.
Are you saying something, Lord?
Are you saying something?
What are you trying to say?
You know, but the awesomeness of God that out of that captivity,
mm-hmm.
even though he didn't listen to God at first, you know, sometimes things that happen to us are not necessarily, they may seem bad.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem like a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? In the end, you know, what looked to see and seemed like it was going to take you down, it was one of the greatest things that could have ever happened in your life. I mean, if you would have asked Manasseh and took a snapshot of that one moment of his mm-hmm. life,
right,
and said, "Hey, man, how's it going? This is horrible. This stinks.
Yeah, this is not good."
But remember that life is continually moving. It's either going to get better for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you keep going on with God, or it's going to get eventually worse if you just leave God.
Right. Well, listen to what Proverbs 20 says, which confirms what you're saying. And this is the New Living Translation. It says, physical punishment cleanses away evil.
Mm.
Such discipline purifies the heart.
Wow.
So I think Manasseh had a heart transplant.
Yeah,
in the midst of, in the midst of his discipline.
Yeah. And there's nothing like that. You know, the Word of God tells us that God disciplines those that he loves.
That's right.
He's treating it like a son.
That's right.
And praise God for that.
Amen.
If you're going through a discipline in your life right now, if you're going through a straightening, a correcting, mm-hmm. hey, don't despise that. God's loving on you. Mm-hmm. He's helping you to come into alignment and helping you to come in within the fence. You've been running wild all outside the fence. God's bringing you within the fence. And he's trying to help you.
Right.
While you still can receive help. Because there's going to be a moment. There's going mm-hmm. to be a time. And we're going to talk about this here in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a moment in time where help is no longer going to be extended to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Genesis says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. Let me tell you something. If God's contending with you right now, this is good.
That's right. It means there's still hope.
There's still hope. Absolutely, Pat. There's still hope. So Manasseh found out that, hey, it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you don't look at life like a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
We become a picture-crazed generation now. It's amazing with what these phones have done. It totally replaced digital cameras. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no need now to buy a camera because the phones are totally equipped with
them. I know, right? Mm-hmm.
And they're quite good.
Yeah.
But a picture is a frozen moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us to remember a season or what occurred that day or, you know, what happened during that holiday, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that picture is just that one frozen second of that time there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay stuck in your life just looking at a picture at your present and you don't realize that this too shall pass,
mm-hmm.
if you don't realize that, you know, with God and keeping your gaze and focus on the Lord, that, you know, greater and better days are ahead of you, you'll stay stuck, you know, and what you keep before you, whatever's your vision, it's going to mm-hmm. become your destiny.
That's right.
You know, if Manasseh just stayed there in that and in that prison and just kept playing with the ring in his nose.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? If he kept looking at the cell.
Right. Start decorating it.
Ooh.
Getting comfortable.
That's right.
You know what? These prison walls aren't so bad.
Right.
Yeah. A little paint on them, man.
Mm-hmm. At least I'm alive.
Yeah.
At least I'm alive.
Yeah.
And if you stay stuck in that place, that's where you're going to remain.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, you can have a better vision. And your vision and your roadmap and your focal point
mm-hmm.
is in God.
Right.
You know, God will take your mess and make it your message if you allow him to.
That's right.
You know, you can get bitter, you can get better, but you can't get both. You know, you have to choose. You have to decide, am I going to cooperate? Am I going to learn
mm-hmm.
from what it is that God's showing me? You know, we all go through trials and tribulations, what James says, right?
That's right.
But welcome your trials as friends.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Because God's teaching you. He's treating you like a son. He's treating you like a daughter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no discipline sounds good at the time. But in the end, when it's all said and done,
all right.
You know, and I'm the type, I try to. Guys, I try to really, really hard. Really, really hard. But mm-hmm. I try to borrow the experience so that I don't have to buy the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to share that often with folks because, you know, there are some experiences that you will just have to buy.
Yeah.
Nobody can help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much that you can borrow that you don't have to take on yourself. So, you know, I want to encourage you. We're here to encourage you and mm-hmm. enlighten you and share some just wisdom with you. Listen, if you're going through some of these struggles and going through some of corrections and God is working with you,
mm-hmm.
work with Him.
All right.
Well, you know, remain on the wheel. Let mm-hmm. let the potter do his work. You know, sometimes you just got to start on over.
Right.
He's like,
yeah,
God, can you just crush this real quick and just start all over? He's trying to work with something that can't be worked. Sometimes right. you got to throw that thing back on the wheel and say, let's start again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start again. And that's the great thing about the Lord is that He's willing and able and loves us enough to start again.
Mm-hmm.
To start again. There is hope in the Lord. Amen?
Amen. That's good.
So we know how to turn back to God and, oh my goodness, we revisited, are you desperate for God's glory?
Mm.
Listen. It's all about the glory of God. If you have not heard, are you desperate for God's glory? Desperate for the glory of God? You got to go to the VFN Torch and search on the right-hand corner. Just put desperate. Put glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that it will, you just type it in, and you'll see that these highlights will pop up. You can also find them, by the way, on your app, your mobile device. If you have an iPhone, if you have an Android type of phone or tablet,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and search your app. And you can, if you haven't downloaded the app, go to your app store for your iPhone or your iPad. If you have an Android service system on your phone or on your tablet, mm-hmm. just go ahead and go to Google Play.
Mm-hmm.
And type in VFNTV.com.
Right.
And you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. We're talking about desperate for God's glory. And yesterday, besides why are you so anxious, by the way, because I want to talk about Israel, but
mm-hmm.
why are you anxious? That was such an encouraging word. You know, there's a lot of things that have men fretful these days.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old little commercials where they'd show a guy chomping on his fingers and da-da-da-da-da.
All right.
Because he's terrified. There's so much terror
mm-hmm.
out there. Listen, we don't have to be anxious.
Right.
If you know God, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life,
mm-hmm.
there is no reason under the sun why you should be anxious today, because God is with you. I mean, listen, we win in the end. You
That's
win.
Right. That's right.
You win. But if you don't know God,
mm-hmm.
I can certainly understand, because these are trying times. Listen, you got to listen to why are you anxious? Why this is all just from yesterday's program, but very encouraging. But we talked yesterday
mm-hmm.
about Israel and what's happening in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it appears that it has started.
Yeah.
I mean, the election just finished.
Mm-hmm.
We just reelected our president.
Correct.
And it just seems just soon right after,
mm-hmm.
there's been some serious activity in the Middle East. And
mm-hmm.
when I say serious, you know, any activity is serious in the Middle East.
Yeah, right.
But we talked about, and we're going to kind of revisit it here today, that for the first time since 1973 Yom Kippur War, Israel fired warning shots into Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Syria's involved in a year-long conflict. You know, they don't know to call it civil war. It's a civil war to me, you know, but mm-hmm. they're fighting among these rebels, and which we allegedly are supplying guns to. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a whole other...
Right. Whole other story.
Whole other story, but an important story nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
But, and when apparently a shell came across into the Golan Heights, And it's very serious. And Israel's saying, hey, listen, don't let that stuff come on over here. You know what I mean?
Right. And
it's very important when you look at the map of Israel, when you're looking at a map of Israel, Syria is located, if you were looking at a clock, let's say, Syria would be probably around 1 o'clock to Israel.
Right.
Okay? Base of a clock.
Yeah, right on its northern border.
Yeah, right on the northern border. Shares the border with Lebanon. And on the southern border, you have Egypt, but right on the south part there, you have Gaza, the Gaza Strip.
Right.
I believe that's only like 20 miles long and 7 miles wide. That little piece of property is, and what's happening there is causing so much havoc. It's like, so at the same time that Israel's dealing with Syria and what's happening there in the northern part, with shells coming across, down in Gaza, they have fired over 75 to 100 rockets into Israel.
Oh wow!
And this is really important. I mean, this is like, you know, what's the deal here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you're starting to see some sort of escalation now, where there's some activity or something going on there in the north with Syria, and then on the bottom there in Gaza, they're dealing with these rockets that are being blasted. And I love what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says. He says, listen, we won't sit idly by. We won't sit idly by. And so they're really, really looking to protect the civilians. I mean, they're not going to, and they shouldn't. Really, enough is enough. When you talk about tolerance, when you talk about patience, when you talk about being able to speak to, you know, on the world stage, I don't know of another country that has gone through such diplomatic lengths to share with the whole world, to build a case, to present the evidence that, you know, what part are you not getting, world?
Right.
United States, you know?
Right.
That there are people bent on trying to annihilate us. And they live with terror attacks. You know, I often say that, you know, we didn't really, that word terror attacks did not become really popular, if you will, or well known until September 11th.
Right.
Think about that. But yeah, yet,
until it got on our shores and our borders.
There you go.
We weren't too concerned about it, yeah.
Now it's terror.
Yeah.
You know, and it's by no means to, you know, lessen what happened. I mean, you know. But we got to deal with reality. We got to deal with what's going on. Back up in the Golan Heights, by the way, they're actually telling their citizens to ready their bomb shelters in the event that something does happen. So, you know, Israel's working behind the scenes and getting prepared. And what we can do, what can we do? Because you're looking at, you know, an administration that has not been too friendly to Israel.
Right.
When you're suggesting going back to 1967 border lines, when you never set foot in the actual country of Israel, supposed to be our biggest ally in the Middle East, our only ally in the Middle East, and you visit everyone else, talking about the administration president here, visits, I mean, all these other countries, but you don't land as president. It's concerning.
Yeah, it's very.
It's concerning, and so what we can do is continue to pray, and to stand boldly. Let me tell you, it's not good. In what lies ahead, it's not. I don't believe it's going to be too popular in man's eyes to stand with Israel. It's not now. And I want to encourage you that more than ever, be resolute in your commitment to Israel, resolute for the protection of God's people, the apple of God's eye, and understand that as Israel goes, so goes the church.
Right.
They are us. They are us. And one of the things that we can't do, we can't get complacent, and we can't desensitize ourselves if we've heard this before, or yeah, Israel, and we just become complacent. You've got to stay sharp. You've got to stay alert. You've got to stay vigilant. You must be aware. We cannot fall asleep like the proverbial frog in the boiling water that right. never jumps out because they fell asleep.
Right.
And I'm telling you, these days, you got to get a slap yourself buddy, okay? You got to make sure. You got to have a slap yourself. Not slap your mama, but slap yourself buddy. But you say, listen, if you ever see me falling asleep in the things of God, if you ever see me falling asleep and not being aware of what's happened to Israel, if you see me just going away and straying away and going on the wide road instead of the narrow road, I need you to slap me and wake me up. Mm. Not literally, but, maybe.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Those that, now, see, now that's from the Sons of Thunder. They like that.
Slap me, wake me up.
But, you know, hey, the truth is that, you know what? If you wait, you're bait. We've heard that before, right?
Mm, yeah.
You wait, you're bait.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want to wait. You don't want to fall asleep. You don't want to wake up and say, what's happening? Mm-hmm. What's happening? While they're, you know, at your door.
Right.
And so we had a segment that we aired not too long ago that I really want to revisit today because I think it really fits exactly what is happening. When we talked about what can you do, stand resolute, stand firm, be bold, stay awake, but also support those organizations. Support those organizations that are supporting Israel.
Right.
Let's listen to this. Israel defends itself and shoots down a drone. This has happened for some military activity prior to this, but there's a prophetic word. What's going to happen if Israel has to fire the first shot?
Well, you know, one of the words the Lord laid on my heart, by the way, the Hugo Chavez won his office. Surprise, surprise. Nothing like cannons pointing at your people.
Oh, my God, no.
He was like, I wonder if I'm going to win or not. Really? Really? You know, and he's doing.
They actually think that we believe that you won?
Well, you know, he's doing it through stimulus packages.
Hmm.
He's giving people stuff and things.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's maintained. He took over all the oil companies. He took over General Motors. I'm like, oh my goodness. He took over the bank. No, what's the bank? No, I'm talking about Venezuela. Oh my goodness!
Help him out, Pat. Plug him up. What's my going goodness. On there? Battery wearing down.
It seems like, you know. Remember when they first, when President Barack Obama became president, and they went and Hugo Chavez, and he met at this gathering and stuff, and he got, he says, "Listen, I want to give you my book." And he walks over and gives him his book, and pats him. He says, "We're friends." And he said, "This is what he said recently in an interview." Chavez said. The dictator, he said, I truly believe, well, I know for a fact, if I was under the leadership of President Barack Obama, I would vote for him. And I truly believe that if he was under my leadership, basically, in Venezuela, that he would vote for me. And he's saying, and what you're looking at is socialism, all that whole concept. Mm-hmm. And when you come to think about it, it all started when... Hugo Chavez took over the oil.
BP, I believe it is.
Yeah, the oil companies and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I'm sorry, it's not BP.
No, it's not.
It's one of those gas companies. I think it's a Citgo or something like that.
Yeah, Citgo.
Yeah, Citgo. The C stands for Chavez oil. and that's how it happens. Government begins to take over businesses. Then they say, you know, we can redistribute. Oh my goodness, redistribute the money and we can do it better, and pretty soon we'll always be president because we're the ones controlling the finance and the it looks like people with these mechanisms of tyrannical leadership, no matter how passive it is, is a way of exchanging faith in God for faith in socialism, believing that government is going to take care of us versus God. It's the old SOS message, is it not? Go to VFN TV and see SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, because that's the very thing that's facing the church. Well, the world's going to buy in. We're not. This is not to the world.
Right.
But the church is not supposed to be like the world. We're not going to. We shouldn't buy into that. But speaking about God's news behind the news, as we're talking about continuing to talk about Chavez, and bigger than that is the drone that was flying over Israel.
Yes. Hello. My goodness. I saw that Saturday. I believe it was. Where an unmanned drone was shot down by Israel because it was flying over the zone.
Pause for anything about this. You know, don't play around with Israel. Can you imagine like you're whistling yourself walking across the border? I'm going to do them in. It's like you're going to look just like that drone.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what Iran's goal. If you mess with Israel, I mean, that was that something you see it where it actually it shot and then the plane. It just went straight up, and then the wings caught the pressure of the wind and then pushed itself back up. I'm thinking that, I mean, you got to be a good flyer in aircraft to be able to defend such a small piece of land. I mean, you can't fly 20,000 miles. I mean, you got 60 miles at its widest. You got to shoot. You got to be able to throw your stick up, I guess, and your flaps down, and you got to be able to stop yourself before you end up in Jordan or something, you know?
Right.
Exactly. Don't mess that. They were sending a signal. You even peep over these borders. It's over for you.
It wasn't like ting. It was like kashaboom, you know? It was like, oh, my goodness.
It's called shock and awe. Watch now.
I mean, Israel's so small. Just go stand on the mountain and look over. I mean, you don't have to send a drone over.
Exactly.
It's very small. Right. I can't believe that was nothing but provoking Israel. And, of course, Israel had a good chance to explain how they will respond with that. When you think about Hamas, understand, this is the distant, disconnected, but truly connected, alleged military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm. So when you hear that this, allegedly this drone was sent by Hamas in Lebanon, everybody's looking at Iran, not understanding that Iran's supporting Hamas in Lebanon, which is Lebanon, just so you know that, Iran, imagine your body's Israel. That and you're laying down and you're looking straight up to the stars. Well, your left arm would be Jordan and your left arm would be Iran, but Lebanon would be your hair. I mean, they just sent a drone from your hair over you. I mean, it'd be your head over your head because it's at the head of Israel. And how horrific that is. And it was that's Iran feeds in, and the Muslim Brotherhood allegedly is their military arm, where they're using to come. So everybody disassociates these things. It's like, no, it's all tied together. First of all, as Christians, we know that it's second heaven, no matter what they call it. You know, you don't wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities, and spiritual darkness. Ephesians 6:12. It manifests through the way men do it and their own perceptions because they have their own authorities and they can do different things. But the big thing is, you know, that Hamas is sending this drone. I mean, oh my goodness, that was like, and this is the word the Lord gave me early on, was I believe that the first time that Israel has to fire one shot, one shot because of what we did, That's it. And that one shot with the Hamas being the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, funded by Iran, all Islamic, empowered by our president when he went over, allegedly empowered by our president, when he went over and spoke to the Muslim Brotherhood and empowered them in Egypt, but now they're all over the place, and that's who's trying to take power in Syria. That's it. You know, the show that, you know, let's roll. That was it.
Yeah.
The second they had to shoot that drone down. And drones are not, these are not like little model airplanes.
Right.
We're fighting wars. We're fighting wars with these drones. They're loaded guns and weapons and cameras. And I mean, it could be a nuclear warhead on a drone. People are waiting for rockets. It's like, no, it could be a little small drone. They're not really small, but it could be a drone. They have small ones too. They could be flying with a nuclear warhead right over you or some sort of electromagnetic
EMP
or some sort of biological weapons, which are right there in Syria, the largest stockpile, and they could have released it right over Israel at that very moment. This is serious stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we empowered them. Our leadership empowered them over there. Understand this, that in Ezra, and we'll talk more about this in the extra hour, he says the reason why this is all happening is because we've sinned. Mm. That God's people, we've sinned.
Right.
And he talks about that the reason why these pagans rule over you and rule over your kings and rule over your priests is because you've sinned. And this is not going to stop until we repent.
Right.
It's like playing uncle with God. Listen, he's going to win.
That's right.
He's going to win. And Israel had to defend themselves. They fired the first shot. In America, we talk about the shot that was heard around the world. It was when, you know, the independent, when people were fighting for their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this week we'll be able to share with you a story about George Washington under original intent. Amazing people, and it's going to take people with the character of a George Washington, a love for God, an integrity, an understanding of why we can't go that way because mm-hmm. it's going to be very bad for mankind, and it ends bad. It doesn't end well. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that Hitler told the people of Germany to get in power was, hey, they're not paying you enough. You need to get paid more. You're not being taken care of. I'm going to take care of you. I got programs for you. And it ended very horrifically.
Right.
And it ended with a iron wall around part of Germany and with the with God's people being killed and destroyed and put in ghettos. And you know, it doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know, JJ, if you have not yet, you know, listened to
Jews and Jesus.
Jews and Jesus, the church and Israel, how the ultimate thing is whether the individual knows it or not, at some point it's going to be placed under that. I mean, they're going to have to try to pay Satan off, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is the destruction of God's people.
That's exactly right. When you think about this, Pat, Chris, you think about this,
mm-hmm.
the first time. And I believe it's a prophetic word. I truly believe the first time that Israel has to shoot. They've been shooting warning shots,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
here recently. But the first time that they have to send the first shot to defend themselves,
right.
it's really going to be the beginning.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. And you look back, I mean, what brought it to this point? What policies? What has this nation, this administration been doing
mm-hmm.
in the background that's allowed this to get to this point?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the attacks are coming from all different ways. And I love what the prime minister's saying. I mean, he's saying we're ready for our response.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're ready to go. But yet, you know this, when the whole world is against you, mm-hmm. when the whole world... You know, you have to be ready. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get ready. It's called we stay ready.
Right.
We stay ready so we don't have to get ready.
That's right.
So we can't fall asleep. You know, when those they have a the Israel Defense Forces, they have this what do you call it? Anti-missile they call it the Iron Dome, the anti-missile anti-dome thing. But what it is that it mm-hmm. intercepts the missiles, and they were able to intercept some missiles that were fired over. And so they have technology, they have, you know, committed soldiers. But you know what? We don't want to lean on the strength of men.
Right.
And certainly they don't want to be forced to play that hand.
Right.
But you got to look at the radical Islam
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they're trying to annihilate the Jews and we're next. Christians are next.
That's right.
And Jews and Jesus. Listen, if you haven't heard Jews and Jesus, it's going to give you a JJ. It's going to give mm-hmm. you a really good perspective. I really, really encourage you. Go to the BFN Torch. Type in JJ, and you'll get a better perspective on really what is happening, what's going on, and the depth of where this hatred is coming from,
mm-hmm.
and how... More than ever, we cannot bury our head in the sands. We have to be alert. We have to be awake. We have to be vigilant. We have to be prayerful. And we have to depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, total dependency upon God is, you know, no other way.
Right.
And so keep Israel in your prayers. You know, there's ministries like CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Mm-hmm. If you're not a member, if you don't know anything about CUFI, go to the website. Mm-hmm. You can go to Google and type in.
Well, actually, you can get to it from VFNTV.com. There's a link directly on the right there.
That's right. That's right. VFNTV.com. Go directly to the link. I wasn't sure if that was functioning. It is up. Good.
Yeah, it's up.
So you can go there. As well as, you know, we do have friends in Israel, you know, the Do Get Ministry with Avi. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're on the front lines. Pray for their safety and pray that the kingdom of God advances in Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, Israel's hope is going to be when they turn to Jesus.
Right.
And we have Jewish brothers and sisters that have been ministering long and hard and are working in that land and that territory among the Jewish people. Pray for the salvation of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Pray that our brother's eyes will be opened. And if our blessing we have now is when their eyes are closed, imagine the blessing we're going to have when their eyes are open.
Right.
And so it's to our benefit to pray for them and to hold them up. Mm-hmm. And also, too, when you see a Jewish American in your community, I encourage you, take the time. You know, I live in an area where there's a lot of Jewish Americans. And on the Sabbath, oftentimes you see them walking to the temple, and mm-hmm. I'll pull on over on the side of the road, and just or I might see them in the store. I let them know, hey, listen, I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. and I stand with Israel, and I just wanted you to know that. And oftentimes they're just taken aback. That alone, I believe, many times would be a strong witness, just a kind word, and let them know that, hey, you're not alone. A lot of them, believe it or not, in my experience, are surprised when if they become open and start to share some of the things like CUFI and different organizations of Christians that are, they are absolutely blown away of that type of love and that type of commitment. Mm-hmm. Many Jews in Israel know that it's the Christians that stand with them,
right.
but a lot more are knowing, and you can play a role in that. Well, I'm just so excited about all the things that we're going to be talking about. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the narrow gate. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you can think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love, and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN radio program, They love the 24-hour loop. But did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the Data Radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Well, we just came back from a break from our first hour. My goodness, we just shared so much about Israel. I just love Israel. And, you know, when I went to Israel, I was so shocked and surprised that you hear about all these countries, Lebanon and Syria, and, it's like Egypt, like I literally went to the northern border. I went to the Golan Heights, and then I went to Matula, which is the Lebanon border. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, it's a stone's throw away. I mean, you could throw a rock into another country and say, I hit you. You know what I mean? It's just right there. They're so close.
Right. Yeah. Word to the wise. Don't tell that to the people that are questioning you in the airport.
Oh, I know.
Before you leave.
I know. It's like, very, very important. Well, you know, I wanted to talk about the narrow gate, the narrow door, because I think many in the last days are going to think they're in when they're actually out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to know. It's important to know. I mean, I've been at many people's deathbeds, and that's not a time when you want to know. It's not a time when you want to kind of figure this out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was reading in Luke 13:22, it says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages and teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Mm-hmm. Interesting question. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And this is Jesus' words. Mm. He said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.
Right.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when I think about that, you know, there is a time to get ready. Mm-hmm. There is a time. And my concern is that, you know, there are many that are hanging around the cross as if hanging around the cross is enough. There's a huge difference in hanging around the cross and getting on the cross. And we're confusing religion with relationship.
Right.
And this is so important. Wouldn't you want to know? If this is not for you, then skip it. But if it's a you, you know, take it on in, but also share it with someone else. I mean, think about it.
Right.
We have look at where we're at in this nation, where, I mean, you see everyone from entertainers to rappers to all sorts of folks wearing crosses around their neck and thanking God at the Grammys for the song that they sung that violated all the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you, God did not help you with that song.
Mm-mm.
No, they're not helping with that song. They're mixing biblical themes in worldly music. And it's just like, look, we got to get a clear understanding. There's many people that think that they're in, but they're actually out. Mm-hmm. And hanging around the cross is not the same as getting on the cross. But there is a time to get ready. I mean, he says make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because there's going to become a time where you're not going to be able to.
Right.
And when I think about that, I think about in Noah's days, just like in the days of Noah. I mean, Noah's sharing, he's prophesying, right. He's telling rain is coming, mm-hmm. danger is coming. We've been sharing it. Listen, things are about to happen on the face of this earth and coming to America. You've got to be prepared, not just physically and mentally and financially, but listen, most importantly, you got to be prepared spiritually. Mm-hmm. How can you stand in the days to come if you're not in the right place with God? How can you have your sea legs if you're not even standing on the Word of God and having a relationship with Him?
Right.
With only 19% of the church, according to George Barna, actually abiding and spending time with the Lord and reading their Bible, and only 3% thinking that they're actually responsible for their own spiritual development, mm-hmm. we got a serious condition here.
Absolutely.
So there's a time and there's a period not only for us to get into the door, but there's also a time and a period that we can get others in the door, that we can bring them into the house, the place of God. If you hear me on this, it's Miss.
Right.
And but when Noah shut the door, they were banging, mm-hmm. they were screaming, clawing their nails in the door, and the door couldn't be opened. Mm-mm. I mean, Jesus says, make every effort. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow, narrow is the way. Right. And few find it, right?
That's right.
And there's no such thing as having a virtual relationship with Jesus. You know, one that gives the appearance, but not really in reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't want to hang around the cross. You don't want to be in a place where you're going through the motions and you're singing the songs and you're talking all the Christian lingo, if you will, but you don't have a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, liking a scripture on Facebook is not enough.
No.
It's not enough. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's really just powerful, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 5 that tells us that you can't have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I mean, it looks like God, you know, mm-hmm. it's feasible. It looks like God, but is it God? Is it God? And so when we come back, we're going to be close to the end of the extra hour. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to delve into it. Mm-hmm. But as we're coming close to the end of the first hour, you want to think about it. Mm-hmm. Enter through the narrow door.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.